Bible reading tonight can be found in the Turquoise Pew Bible on page 624. That's page 624. And it's Psalm 127. That's page 624, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those who he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. As Kevin has said, this psalm that we're studying, 127, is one of the psalms of ascent. There are 15 psalms, that's from 120 to 134, and these would have been sung by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem for the various festivals. These psalms can be broken into five groups of three, with each group of three following a similar pattern. A psalm of trouble, followed by a psalm of trust, followed by a psalm of triumph. Today's psalm is a middle psalm in its group of three, which makes it a psalm of trust. But it's not only the middle psalm in its group of three, it's also the third or middle psalm, group of five, which makes it the middle psalm in the whole psalms of ascent, which makes it an important psalm. If you're wondering why we're starting in the middle, we did the rest of them last year. So if you want to study Psalm 126, Jay did it in August last year. Now, this is also the only psalm in the Psalms of Ascent attributed to King Solomon. In fact, you can even find his name hidden in the psalm. You know how artists sometimes hide their signature in their paintings? Well, Solomon has done the same in this psalm. So the words that we've got translated as those he loves in verse 2 is the Hebrew word Jedidiah, which means beloved. And this was the special name God gave to Solomon in 2 Samuel. Now, normally we think of Solomon as a writer of Proverbs rather than Psalms, but the Bible tells us that he wrote over 1,000 songs. But perhaps his Proverbs were a little better than his songs, because we've got a lot more of them than we have of his songs. But we have this song, and you'll notice that it even resembles the book of Proverbs in some ways. It is full of short phrases and vivid imagery. It is categorized as a wisdom poem. Yet it is more connected than Proverbs. All the phrases work together as a unit, and therefore it is more appropriate as a song. Now, the main idea of this psalm is that life without God is not worth anything. It is all vain. But when we give God the rightful place in our lives, we can rest in his blessing. So before we start to open the psalm up, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you choose so many different ways to communicate with us. We thank you for the Proverbs, but we thank you especially for the Psalms. The Psalms seem to reflect more closely the lives that we know and the worship that we give to you. Lord, we just thank you for this psalm and just ask that the message you have for us will speak clearly into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is a wisdom psalm. The theologian J.I. Packer defines wisdom as the knowledge of the course of action that will please God and secure life. The knowledge of the course of action that will please God and secure life. So how do we gain this wisdom? Well, God tells us we just have to ask him. He tells us that in James 1:5. And the reason he wants us to be wise is because he wants us to come to him in the right way. He wants us to come to him and receive his grace, and through that, to have an abundant life. So God wants to be in our lives and to help us to grow closer to him in our relationship and to be blessed through that relationship. So let's start on the psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, and he grants sleep to those he loves. So the psalm's given us great examples relating to major aspects of our lives and society. Firstly, through some negative consequences, that's the verses I've just read, and then more positively in verses 3 to 5, which we'll get to in a minute. Now, verses 1 and 2 have shades of the book of Ecclesiastes, also written by Solomon, in the understanding that life without God is a pointless, futile exercise. All effort is vain, that is, fruitless. It brings no joy or lasting satisfaction. The end product of our efforts will not last or provide the success anticipated at the start. A bit like England, really. In verse 1, the house is a house, and the city is a city. But the word house can also be interpreted as a dynasty or a family, or a business, or a church. The importance is in whether God is involved in the building or growing of it and in its security. Do we first seek God's wisdom and follow it in our everyday decisions and in the way we conduct our lives? Or does this mean only God's efforts are required? Well, no, there still has to be a human builder and human watchman. It is our attitude to God's involvement that is critical. We need to be seeking to ensure all our activities are what he desires by involving him at every stage. Too often we decide to do things and then seek his blessing. Our process should be reversed, to seek his will in our decisions, and if we follow his guidance, then we will be blessed. Verse 2 counters the idea that it is our physical effort that matters. I'm sure many of us get up early and trudge off to work, often working late in the evening, justifying this because it is what we have to do to provide for ourselves and our families. For some, it is because they really enjoy work. For others, it could be an addiction, workaholism. Or we may be seeking to have all the things that modern society deems as being essential for a fulfilled life, or to indicate to others that we are making a success of it, whatever it is. God wants us to rest in him. Now, the opposite of rest is not work, it's restlessness. A constant seeking for whatever we think will help us feel satisfied or happy. Resting means depending on and being secure in our relationship with God. Work is what we are made for, but doing the right work for the right reasons means we can rest in God and be blessed by him. We can't always choose what we work at, or whether we work at all, or who we are employed by. But the right work is anything we do that we offer to God as our sacrifice to him. If we do this with a heart attitude that is seeking God's heart, he will bless our endeavours. but his blessing may not be by way of monetary reward or success or by finding different employment or any of the other ways we measure blessing. After all, being employed where we are may actually be our blessing. It is our heart attitude that will perceive this. So, for instance, in this psalm, he grants sleep to those who are his beloved. The gift of sleep shows the level of security we have in the Lord. Jesus slept on the boat in the midst of the storm when the disciples were all panicking, because he rested secure in the power of God. Sleeping is not complacency, but trust and faith that God can and does what he says, and he will call us when he wants us to act. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Now, it may seem strange to shift from sleep to children, because as parents will tell you, the two seem incompatible. However, this psalm sees children as a blessing from God, a gift, not something we parents choose, but a future given to us by the Lord. Children were the future security of people back when the psalm was written, both in terms of the family, but also in terms of the city. The psalm resonates with the rebuilding of Jerusalem by Nehemiah following the Babylonian exile. The city was empty, the buildings and walls destroyed. Nehemiah prayed to God for wisdom and guidance and organized the returning Israelites by family unit, some to work and some to guard as they repaired the walls. Once Jerusalem was secure, they repaired the houses and the families expanded to fill the city again with people. Their praise to the Lord in celebration of the completion of this work is a highlight of the Bible. They knew it was only through trusting in God's power that they had been able to succeed. But does this mean that God wants all families to be large? Not at all. The size of a quiver is not indicated here. But in that time, children were a reassurance into old age as they moved from being supported by to supporting parents. Again, it is our heart attitude which determines how we perceive God's blessings and the way we receive them in our lives to further God's kingdom. For the Israelites, when this psalm was written, a home and a family within the security of a defended city would have been their greatest blessing. But these issues still matter to us today in our homes and families. But for us here as a church, this psalm also carries the same message. The work we do here is designed to further God's kingdom. But if we decide what that is without reference to God, we will labour in vain. We must constantly seek his guidance in all aspects of the ministry of Christ Church Banstead. That is not only the leadership, but everyone who worships here. For we are God's family in this place. We grow in number by the blessing of God. He grants us our children, but he also calls in visitors to come and seek and then calls them to stay. He calls on individuals to be baptized and join his family. We grow by remaining close to the Lord and allowing his Holy Spirit to be at work. We also need to be ever watchful for the schemes of the enemy to undermine God's work in this place. But again, unless we seek God's help, our watchfulness is diminished or diverted, and divisions or dissensions can occur. But there are many other insidious attacks, both from inside and outside the church. And that's for any church. And it is only by constantly going to the Lord and seeking his wisdom and discernment that we can remain secure. In all these examples, we are not only labouring for a future blessing, but we are also being blessed as we labour, and have been blessed that we are able to labour. Psalm 127 is a beautiful psalm that teaches us to rest in God's blessing at work, at home, and at church. All that we have and all that we need comes from God. The house that brings us protection and comfort, the city that gives us security and stability, the food and daily provisions we need to sustain life. We can bring none of these things about by ourselves. We are totally dependent on God. Psalm 127 teaches us four powerful principles for life. Commit all that you begin to the Lord. Submit all that you have to the Lord. Recognize all that you have comes from the Lord, and trust the Lord to meet all your needs. When we try to do things apart from God, we miss out on God's blessing. We wear ourselves out, and the things we do will not last. This especially applies when we try to gain our own salvation. Salvation is completely by faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Nothing we can do, think, or say will make the slightest difference. Only the Holy Spirit can change our heart attitude. We need to put God front and center in our lives and learn to rest in God's blessing and provision in all areas of our lives, home, work, and church. We can rest in God's blessing because all we have comes from God. It doesn't depend on us. It never did, and it never will. Will you rest in God's blessing and provision tonight? Sleep well. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the guidance that you offer to us. Help us to have the hearts to reach out and take that guidance and make it work in our lives, Lord. May your Holy Spirit give us the changes that we need in our lives to become more like Jesus, to follow you more closely, and to live our lives in the love and grace that you provide for us. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed, Fred. As Fred was saying, rest doesn't mean inaction. And our final song picks up that language of the Christian life as a battle. And we're reminded of what Fred's just been teaching us in the last verse where it says, "So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle." Let's stand.